Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, April 2nd. It's a beautiful day here in Clearwater, Florida, and I'm sitting here eating, you know, where I don't know where you all are in different time zones. I know that people listen all over the world to this show, but my time zone is 12 noon. And so it's lunchtime when I'm doing the show, and I usually don't eat, but today I have to run out right after the show, and usually I eat afterwards. But I made a salad this morning to take its picture for my food blog, and it'll be posted tomorrow. And the salad has raw asparagus and cucumbers and celery and a little red onion for color and bite. It's so delicious. I have a little olive oil and Himalayan pink salt on it. And if you've never had raw asparagus, please just go get some asparagus and just eat it, because it's crispy and cool and wet and sweet. And it doesn't taste anything like what you probably think it tastes like. And it's just great in a salad, or just eat it by itself, or dip it in something that you'd like to dip it in. It's just, I want to encourage people to eat raw asparagus because I love it so much. Anyway, what we're talking about today is a little different. My guest today is the co-author of a book that is about the two co-authors found healing in nature. They both had illnesses, long-term ongoing illnesses. But they found comfort and healing by being out in nature and reconnecting with nature and understanding more about nature's processes. The book is called Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom. They wrote a book, and it's full of their essays and gorgeous, gorgeous nature photography. And it really gives you an idea that nature is there and embracing us as part of the whole. My guest is Dana Simpson, and we'll be talking about her experience. Hi, Dana.
Good morning, Deborah. Or I should say good afternoon.
Speaking of good afternoon, yes.
I'm on the West Coast, but...
You're in California, right?
I am, and we're having a windy day today.
Oh, good. I love windy days.
Boy, that's something I'm going to look for today in the market.
Tell us tell us your story of what happened that led to you writing the book.
Thank you. Well, I must say it's an event in my life that I never saw coming. I know people talk about things that are life-changing, and meeting Karen Roberts was truly a life-changing moment. We were introduced by the headmaster of my middle school, who I had reconnected with in a meditation class. And when I heard his voice, my heart just leapt. So I followed that, and I called him up, and we met. And I told him about my experiences with Lyme disease. And he recently had met Karen, actually in a parking lot. They just had started talking, thinking that they had known each other, realizing that this was their first meeting. And he realized that the two of us were very similar. And we were at that moment both really trying to read and read. In 2002, I was on a summer vacation on Martha's Vineyard and enjoying the beautiful landscape, spent time hiking. Well, I shouldn't say hiking, but walking the trails and enjoying the seashore. And I was bit by a tick. Fortunately, I discovered it. I did develop the bullseye rash, which we know is the telltale sign of Lyme. And I was able to receive a short treatment of antibiotics, but it was a very short course. It was just about 5 days. Our knowledge of the treatment has expanded greatly, and we know that it does require much more vigorous treatment upon detection.
Yes.
So I must say, at that point, I really did think that I was cured, and I sort of put it out of my mind. But then symptoms started to appear, migrating pain, a great deal of fatigue, I was a graduate student at the time, pursuing a master's and then planning to continue into the PhD program. But I just became very weak and really found myself more or less sort of falling out of life. And that period lasted for about 10 years.
I understand what that's like. And I think that a lot of people... are you hearing me okay? Because you're kind of cutting in and out to me. I'm not hearing everything that you're saying. So are you hearing me?
I'm sorry. I am hearing you. I am on a landline. I will try to... yes.
Okay,
good.
The
connection seems fine at this end.
Okay, good. I just thought I'd check because yesterday we were having some problems with my guest from Sweden with the transmission. So... what I was asking, what I wanted to do was just say that regardless of whatever illness that our listeners may have, that what we're talking about today is nature as a healing force, no matter what your situation may be. And I know for me, my guest is talking about Lyme disease, but for me, when I was very sick from toxic chemical exposure, I had the same experience of turning to nature for healing. Not the same individual experience that she had, but the same general experience of saying, how do I get out of this? How do I stop being sick from toxic chemicals? And the answer for me was to go live out in nature and to get out of the city, get out of the industrial world, and go be in nature. And it was profoundly life-changing for me to do that. And it was also profoundly life-changing for Dana, as I understand from her book. So go on and with your story.
And actually, Karen has multiple sclerosis, so that's her chronic and lifelong illness. But yes, I think for both Karen and I, she had been a very successful woman on Wall Street, pursuing a career and on a life path that was pushing her forward, every moment of the day. And I as well had finished one graduate program and moving forward into another graduate program, living in the head, very excited about the future I saw, but very disconnected. I was disconnected from my body, and I was certainly disconnected from my environment. I was physically extremely active, but I never took time to rest and repair and recover. And that was really one of the first lessons that I learned by reconnecting with nature. It gave me that opportunity to take pause. And I think that was one of the first gifts that enabled me to assess my situation, to assess my physical situation, my mental situation, and my environment. And once I did that, it opened me to asking questions about my own nature. Interestingly, perhaps as a woman, perhaps just as a product of our culture and society, I hadn't taken time to think about my, internal world, my systems. Also, the complements in nature, watching a flowing river or stream, thinking about the winds. In Chinese medicine, for example, the winds are used as a way to assess our pulse. And that was sort of one insight. I started thinking about the rhythms of nature, the seasons of nature, and how that was also present in my own body.
Yes.
And I think that was a very slow process of, seeking. But that was really what nature first gave me to, as I said, to kind of tune into my own senses, which I think is what nature provides, an opportunity to see colors, to feel textures, to observe patterns, to touch.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
We need to go to break. And during the break, the studio is going to call you again and see if we can get a better connection. You're listening to Toxic... Yeah. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. And my guest today is Dana Simpson. She's the co-author of Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom. And we're talking today about her experience with nature as a healing force. I love you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I was munching again on my delicious raw asparagus salad during the break. So good. I don't often mention that I do have a food blog at toxicfreekitchen.com. I think there's no hyphens in that one. And you can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and go up to the menu and click on food, and you'll see my food blog. And tomorrow, this recipe and a picture of what I'm eating will be up by noon. But, you know, we're talking about nature today with my guest, Dana Simpson. She's the co-author of Journeys Healing Through Nature's Wisdom and Awareness of Our Connection with Nature. And I know for me that when I became more aware of nature many years ago, one of the things that happened was that I wanted to eat actual food from nature, not food out of a package. And there was a big shift for me around that, eating seasonally and locally. And that's one of the things that changed. I'm so happy that we're talking about this today, Dana, because I know that I went through a similar shift that you're talking about, where living out in the natural world, I went and lived in a forest by myself in a little tiny house for 2 years. And it completely changed my orientation to life. And you know, that you can see those similarities between our bodies, the body of our bodies and the body of the planet, that they're both systems. They both have flows going through them. They both have rivers of blood run through our water, our bodies. In nature, it's water. In our bodies, it's blood, but it's still a river. And there's breathing going on, and there's organization going on, and there's eating, and there's waste, and all the aspects of the system that go on in that bigger macrocosm is going on in the microcosm of our bodies. And it's so interesting to me to see. I remember one of my early realizations was to understand that when I breathe in, when my body breathes in, I'm breathing in oxygen, which is produced by trees and plants. And that when I exhale, I'm exhaling carbon dioxide, which is what plants eat. They need our carbon dioxide. And then they transform it into oxygen so that we then can breathe the oxygen that we need. And just to see this beautiful exchange that goes on, how the plants are creating the very air we breathe, just to see those kinds of things really made me see all the interconnections, and it really changed me from living in an industrial world to living in nature and seeing myself as a being of nature, like a tree or an animal that were in the natural world. And then the industrial world is just kind of this other thing.
That's a breathtaking description. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it really was. It was a shift for me out of the industrial world, even though I still buy things at stores and, you know, I have a computer and we're using industrial everything to have this conversation. My awareness and my heart is in the natural world. And that's why I appreciate so much what you've done.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been, you know, for both Karen and I, discussing our healing journeys and the inner journey that complemented our process, you know, has been as I said, just very life-changing to get the affirmation in our connection and in our ability to share our stories first with each other. You know, we began with an email communication. So in writing to one another, we discovered that we had this book that we wanted to present and share. And Karen has traveled for many years with an incredible photographer. She turned to photography as one way to sort of develop a new form of expression and creativity in her life. So we were able to capture images from incredible places, including a few trips that I've taken in the last year as well. I must say, hiking is a complete walk that I've begun to explore and enjoy. And one of the great gifts I receive each time I take a hike is I'm reminded that I can choose the path I take.
Yes.
And that's been something to be able to set aside the expectations we place on ourselves and to choose where we're going to take ourselves that particular moment and day. And to accept if we choose perhaps to sit and be still or if we choose to be more active, but how we want to move through nature can then guide us in how we move through the world. And I appreciate what you've said about creating mindful choices that integrate everything from how you eat to the water you drink to the mattress you sleep on to create
right.
an environment that is healthful and health-giving.
And I think about that. You know, my mattress that I sleep on, it's from a company called Shepherd's Dream. I've had it for a number of years. So I've lived here in Florida for, I think, 13 years now, 14 years. And so the mattress I got when I was in California, it's even older than that. But it's still like new. But the thing was that the sheep produced the wool, and it was made into a mattress within an hour's drive of my house. And I could go visit the sheep. I slept one night in the workroom where the mattress was made. I could go meet the makers of it. I really am aware when I lie down at night that I'm sleeping on sheep, you know, the wool of sheep. And I know what their environment is like. And that's a whole different awareness. I mean, when you sleep on a polyurethane foam mattress, what you're sleeping on is crude oil. And we don't even have those awarenesses for the most part. And so I really do have, you know, I can look around on my desk and I can see I have this wooden desk and it's oak, and I know what an oak tree looks like. And it's trimmed with purple heartwood, and I don't know what that looks like, but I know it's a tree, you know? And it's just that's the kind of process that happens in my mind nowadays. We need to go to break again, but when we come back, I'd like you to tell us a story from your book. So during the break, you can consider which one you'd like to tell. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dana Simpson, author of Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom, and we'll be right back. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dana Simpson. She's co-author of the book Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom, and you can go to her website at healingthroughnatureswisdom.com. So, Dana, tell us a little bit about the book and what's in it, how it's organized, and then tell us a story from it.
Yes. So our book is a collection of essays intended to be uplifting and inspiring. Karen and I talk about our process with our illness, but more importantly, we've tried in each of our essays to share a moment of joy that we experienced on one of our travels. As I shared with you, Karen has traveled extensively with Tim Hoff, who's an incredibly acclaimed photographer. So the images of the landscape are meant really to be a journey as well as the written word. My travels have been much closer to my home in Santa Barbara. I'm blessed to live in a beautiful natural environment. And speaking of that, your earlier comment about leaving the industrial world, I had been living in New York City and desperately needed to get out of that environment as well.
Yes.
And one of the stories in the book is actually just about traveling to Ojai. Ojai is a very special small community just south of Santa Barbara. It's considered a spiritual place.
Yes.
And, yes, have you been there, Deborah?
I've been to Ojai, and I actually have a story about being in Ojai. There's a restaurant there. I've forgotten the name of it, but you probably know what it is. It's a pretty famous restaurant. And they have this delicious pea soup. And do you know which one I'm talking about?
You know, I must say, my trips were often just to my doctor's office, but it sounds delicious. I'll have to find it.
It was sometimes I go to restaurants where it's just a revelation, the way they prepare the food. It just, you know, I just am so aware of all food being living creatures, or, you know, plants or animals, that it's all life. And so when I get something that's so incredibly prepared, that it really honors and enhances and celebrates that the preparation enhances the nature of the food. And this was one of those experiences. It was just this fresh pea soup that just was amazing. And it was in Ojai.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well,
that's what I remember about it. And you see, to me, that is bringing nature. That is really honoring nature in our daily lives. It's honoring nature in our daily lives.
How we prepare our food. Yes. I have the great, really honor to be a caretaker of a wonderful garden. And I must say, growing our own vegetables, and having my hands in the dirt, in the earth, that was also something, as I started, just spending more time outdoors. I was visiting a park in Santa Barbara frequently, and I realized I wanted to give some service. And I think that's another lesson that nature often stirs in us, is that it opens our heart to how we want to be in the world. And so I started asking myself, what can I do? And at that moment, I didn't know where my, you know, what tomorrow would look like. But I knew in that moment, I just wanted to start to touch the earth again. So I remember taking my shoes off in this park, walking, just feeling the contact again. And one of the essays actually does share with you what it was like when I took my shoes off and started to feel my body move again and feel the earth and feel that connection. Part of it was inspired by taking some Tai Chi classes at that moment, but it just was opening up a whole new channel, a rooted channel. And in that park, I also started thinking maybe I can be of help. So I volunteered. I just was a little, you know, once a week I would go down there and help garden. And doing that for my community also helped me start to think more about what I could do in the world in a professional way as well.
You know, one of the things. Go ahead.
No, please. Yes.
One of the things that I learned from nature was to think beyond myself, because I think that in the industrial paradigm, that we think so much about me, and we don't think about where anything comes from. We think that things come from the store. We think that our survival is based on earning money, you know, it's all about how can I survive, and that one of the first things I got from nature was my survival is dependent on nature. That where does all the things from the store come from? Well, they come from nature. If we don't have the raw materials to make all those things, we don't have the things. If we don't protect those environments, if we don't regenerate our soil, if we don't do those things, we don't have anything that supports our own bodies. And so our life is totally dependent on the integrity of the whole planet and of our local ecosystems. And until you realize that ecosystem is there, that you're living in an ecosystem, until you can see that nature is there, the planet is there, that there's a cosmos, until you can be aware of that, you can't possibly feel connected to it. The first thing is just being aware that it's there. And I had so much attention on how was I going to earn money, what am I going to buy next, and what's playing at the local movie theater, that I wasn't even looking at nature. And it wasn't until I actually went out in nature that I had that chance. Yeah.
Well, your experience with the forest is just so beautiful. I was reading an article recently about research coming out of Japan on forest bathing, as they have titled it, and just the benefits of immersing ourselves in that greenery, in that air, you know, in that environment. And I know, being someone who does live by the ocean, I spent many, many mornings. Often I was too tired and in too much pain to walk, but just sitting by the seashore and beginning to contemplate footprints, beginning to think about the tides and the shells, And then asking myself, just as you've explained, you know, where has this water been? Where is it going? What are these broader cycles that support and sustain the earth? And interestingly, at the same time that I was asking these questions, I was asking about how do I support my body? I really, you know, hadn't done that. I just had always yes. assumed that I pushed myself physically. So the awareness to ask about my food sources, and then learning about integrative medicine and other options for healing.
This is so beautiful. I'm so glad you're on so that we could talk about this today. We need
Thanks.
To go to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dabb, and my guest today is Dana Simpson. She's the co-author of Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom. Her website is healingthroughnatureswisdom.com. And as with all shows, they all get archived. And I'm also making transcripts now, and we'll have some of the photos from the Journeys book on her show page at toxicfreetalkradio.com coming up next week. So make sure you take a look at those. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Pat, and my guest today is Dana Simpson, co-author of Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom, and her website is healingthroughnatureswisdom.com. So, Dana, let's talk about some things that our listeners can do in their everyday lives to reconnect with nature, even if they don't have. I want to tell a little story about an experience that I had many years ago, and I wrote an essay about this called Seeing Nature, and which was even published in a book. But what I want to say is that when I first met my husband, we were walking down the street in San Francisco in the financial district. I don't know if you've ever been to this financial district, but it's skyscrapers. It's like New York. And you look up, and it's very tall buildings, and you just see this little piece of sky, and it's very cold because not much sun comes down in those spaces. And so we were walking down the street, and all of a sudden he said, "Did you see that bird?" And I said, "What bird?" I had no awareness that there was any nature there. All I saw was, I was looking at the cement, I was looking at the architecture, I was looking in the shop windows, and he's looking at the birds. And I realized that he has like nature vision. We see things selectively, and he sees nature no matter where we are. He's going to feel the wind. He's going to see the sunbeams. He's going to look at the birds. He recently did a cross country trip, and I said to him, "Well, how was your trip?" And he said, "Oh, I saw a flock of deer in Texas." You know? He didn't say, "I went to a museum." He said, "I saw a flock of deer."
Wow.
And this is just, he is. This is just the way he is. And this was like a whole new way of seeing the world for me. And I started looking at things that way as well. One of the things that I occasionally do is take my cell phone. I hate to say this. Take my cell phone when I go for a walk. And that I particularly look for things that I think are unique and seasonal along my path that I'm walking. And I'll take a picture of it. And, you know, I think that now that I know how bad cell phones are, I'm moving really bad. You don't even want to carry them anywhere near you. I think a better suggestion would be for me to mentally take a picture of something to remember that this flower is in bloom, or carry a little sketchbook or something, to just be aware of, instead of walking blindly down the road, to see things, to see individual things. And that makes nature more alive for me, just to be aware that it's there as I'm going through life.
That's beautiful. That's just beautiful. It makes me think also of when I was trying to listen to myself in a new way, trying to really hear my inner voice in a new way through this process, especially when I was undiagnosed for so long, and doctors were just puzzled by me and left me feeling so alone. Mm-hmm. And I did start to meditate, and I remember sitting in this old house with a group of people who made this commitment to gather once a week and just making that commitment to each other. I remember I needed that feeling as I was trying to feel my own humanity again, really.
Yes.
And I remember we sat in the silence, and we heard an owl. And I'll never forget that meditation, because just being silent opens up this opportunity to connect with nature in really any moment of our day, and giving ourselves that quiet time when we turn off our computers and our cell phones and such is so vital. I've been lucky in the sense that I must say I don't carry a cell phone, and I've made a choice to try to live in as present a way as possible. But I know taking the time to remove those distractions will often open you to sounds and beings that you may not have realized that you're sharing, this space with and this journey with every minute of our day. And yes, observation. I think that was one of the great gifts that I found. Through observation of nature, it opened this wonderful door to asking questions. And I did start to study botany a little bit. And
yes, so did I. You see the plants are there. There's something there besides something made by a human, that a
exactly.
plant is there and it's alive. It's a being with a body. And you want to know more about them. You want to know what their names are. You want to know how they function.
And
just like you want to get to know a friend.
It is. Yes, that's a beautiful way to put it. And as I was learning more about the systems as well, I also discovered, natural essences, plant essences, box remedies as one example, and just was able to look at my emotions and then looking at the plants and looking at remedies. I remember taking oak, for instance, for a period of time, and I was so taken by that because I realized that the oak tree was speaking to me and I was spending time with a particular oak tree because it just felt so grounded and rooted. And then I realized I was taking this essence and what emotions it was helping me work through at that time. So, again, that connection was just amazing.
It is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. Wow. Well, we've only got 5 minutes left. Doesn't that go by fast? We've only got five minutes left. So I want to make sure that you have, make sure that you get to say whatever it is you want to say to make sure that you get your whole message communicated here.
Well, Deborah, you've just shared so much today. I just have so enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did want to share with you and your audience that I know that your incredible personal commitment to educating us about toxins was definitely part of my healing as well. The doctor who diagnosed me in Ojai was a doctor of environmental medicine and genetics. And he taught me about food allergies. He taught me about heavy metal. I had very high heavy metal loads, really just from, I think, living, for a short period of time in some major cities. But just a few years had been enough exposure to lead and other heavy metals that I went through chelation treatment. I also benefited greatly from infrared sauna treatments. And I did choose to do a cleanse. I continue to do juice cleanses, but I did a fairly intensive cleanse, about 21 days. And I must say it completely returned me to water. I realized that the taste of water is just divine. And
It is. I agree with you. I agree with you. And it was actually, without going off into a whole nother story, it was actually water that got me into wanting to be aware of nature, because I went to Mount Shasta and I drank water out of the spring in Mount Shasta. And it tasted so different than any water I'd ever had. And it felt so different in my body. I just cried. I cried when I drank that water because I said, this is the water I should be drinking, and why are we not drinking it? And where has this world gone that we're not all drinking this water? And that's what started my journey into nature, was drinking water.
Yes. Well, water has a vibration. I agree. And there was a moment of great sadness when I realized that I had turned away, that I was drinking sodas and caffeine, and I had certain addictions that were pushing my body to the point of depletion.
Yeah.
And going through the cleanse process was profound, and I think that, yes, the toxins we carry in our bodies, even when we think we're living, in a way that's very clean, it's something that we need to do to support our health. And I appreciate so much that you encourage everyone to look at their, not only what they put in their body, but look at the things that they surround themselves with, and how that interacts with this very fragile system that we have to care for, our beautiful body,
yes.
And that we need to be very mindful of that and feel so honored to have this to carry us through this world.
Well, I totally agree with that. And I especially want to emphasize what you just said about caring for our bodies, because I think that most in our culture, it's very common to just push our bodies and neglect our bodies. And then we get sick and go, wait, what happened? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that it's our own lack of care. So I'm going to end on that note because we've only got about 30 seconds left before the music comes on, and I don't want to cut you off. But thank you so much. Your book is beautiful, and I'll just give your website again. The name of the book is Journeys, Healing Through Nature's Wisdom, and you can go to healingthroughnatureswisdom.com and see some photographs from the book and order it there. And again, thank you so much, Dana, for being with me today. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad. Be well.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.